Hello and welcome to Screen Time with AV Forums. This month, we're looking back at award season 2025 and discussing whether any of the right films or even the right people won. Tonight, I'm joined by Simon Crust
Academy Award winner.
and Mark Costello.
You liked me. You really like me.
Oh no, it
No.
started. I mean,
That's clever. If you get the Sally Field Oscar acceptance speech reference, that's clever. You know what? I'm wasted. I'm
yeah,
wasted.
you are
You are
wasted.
wasted.
Yeah, you are wasted.
God Almighty.
What do we think of the Oscars? I mean, go on, really, headlining out of 10. Go on, would you give it an Oscar? Would you give the Oscars an Oscar?
No.
Four out of ten.
Yeah, I wouldn't give them an Oscar. I don't know how I sell people on Oscars. I would say, would you guys say that I'm the most positive person about Oscars in the room right now?
You're the most
Yes.
positive person about most things, Kaz.
In most positive person on this podcast, within the forums, and life in general.
Oh my God, is this all because of that Wicked review? I would say that I am quite positive about the Oscars, but I think they're just utter nonsense. Positive in the sense that, admitting their utter nonsense, I am prepared to accept the fact that you can still find some films that are worth watching that are pointed out by the Oscars. That they don't represent to me the best films of the year is partly down to taste and partly down to the fact that, my God, they're not. But in general, if you look back at 20 years of Oscars, I don't agree with any of the winners, but I do agree that.
They've been around more than 20 years, mate. Just
Yeah,
letting you
if
know.
I just meant if you look at, I would take a poll of the last 20 Oscar winners.
Okay.
Out of them, I don't agree with any of them, and think that 19 of the 20 are worth seeing. So that's the benchmark I would say that are Oscars for me.
Yeah, I'm
So
lost. Is anyone else lost?
No,
No,
come on.
yeah.
How
We
many
get what you
Oscars
mean,
win?
Kaz. We
How
get
many
what you mean.
Oscar-winning movies have you seen this year? Oscar nominations have you seen, Mark? I mean,
Yeah, not many. Not many.
yeah, and why? And why though? That's
Well, do you know what? We'll get into that because that's always been the case. We'll get into that.
when this is, aren't we getting into it now?
All right. We'll get through. Do you know what?
Get
Stuff
to it now.
structure, stuff
Yeah.
structure, stuff narrative, stuff, building towards something. Let's just
Listen,
spoil
was there a
those straight away,
structure? Yeah.
honestly.
Tell me. An
So,
Oscar-winning podcast, I'll have you know.
it really isn't.
It's no structure or building to a climax. What are you talking about? It's perfect.
Steady.
Steady.
Right. So,
Tone poem.
well, do you know what? What's been really interesting is that we're having this conversation in the same week that I reviewed the Amadeus 4K. Now,
What a
Amadeus
good read that
is,
is.
well, thank you, Mr. Crust. But Amadeus to me will always be what the Oscars are about. Now, what I mean by that is, in 1984, when I was a wee slip of a lad, I didn't give two hoots for Amadeus because, quite frankly, it wasn't Return of the Jedi, which at that age showed everything, kind of thing. But I discovered it later on as I got to appreciate films. And now, if you will read said review on the website, it is an absolute masterpiece. And I would put Amadeus up there against one of the any other film in the decade. Any other film in the decade. But I had no interest in it at the time. And I didn't for a long while because I came back, maybe. I mean, a biopic about a classical composer. To be honest, if one came along now, I still wouldn't watch it. But there was a sense of, even when I first watched it, there was a sense of, ooh, this is something special. It felt worthy of being festooned with every award it could come away from. To cut a long story short, it felt like an Oscar-winning film. Now, certainly over the last, let's take the last 20 years, Kaz, there's nothing that comes close. The Oscars just don't feel like they used to. Now, I'm sure there's as much good in them as there is bad, because we all know when people say, oh, it's an Oscar-worthy film, it comes laced with as many negative connotations as it does with positive ones. But for me, I look at this list. I look at the list of the last few years. I mean, actually, last year is a good comparator, Oppenheimer. You could argue that Oppenheimer is a very good comparison to Amadeus. It's a historical biopic. shot through with all the big budget, lavish spectacle that one could muster. And I watched Oppenheimer last weekend, 2 days after I watched Amadeus. And I like Oppenheimer, but it just pales into comparison in almost every way. You know, artistically, just a sense of it. And I can't think of another way to describe it other than it just didn't feel like an Oscar-winning film. Not in the way
it's no Barbie, films yeah.
did. Like, how many Oscars did Barbie win? Should have won. So I look at these and I don't know what it is, but there's been a shift at some point where, you know, sticking with the 80s, the likes of Chariots of Fire. Did Chariots of Fire win Best Picture? I think it did. You had Chariots of Fire, you had Out of Africa, you know, you had Terms of Endearment. These were big, big pictures. You know, they were mainstream, main studio. You know, they had huge budgets for the time for what they were, I'm sure. And yet you look at the list now and they almost feel like the Oscars have gone indie.
Yes.
You know, Anora, even Conclave, the Brutalist was what, 10 million quid? A Real Pain. You know, these are...
But we're immediately sidetracking, but sure, that is...
I'm sidetracking. You just said there's no structure, no, Costello.
I did. So yeah. I'm going to get into it then. So I think that's because of the shift in studios. So back then, in the 60s and 70s, you could green light a big budget film that was a biopic, that was a Oscar-winning Swords and Sandals, historical epic that was
Gladiator 2.
That was grand, okay? These days, you can either do your indie Conclave, Anora, to some extent, Brutalist, which is you produce your worthy indie flick that stands a chance. Or you can do Wicked for 250 million. You know, that's how, they're not going to give you 250 million to make Anora or even The Brutalist. And The Brutalist is stunning. It's just they're not going to give you the budget they might have given you in the 70s to do that. So I think a part of it is that. But I agree with you. It is an interesting lineup. I think coming back to what I said right at the beginning, though, I like all of the films that I've seen on the list. I haven't listed all of the films I've seen because I haven't yet made it through Complete Unknown. I don't necessarily subscribe to the fact that these are the best films I've seen this year at all. I do enjoy them. And I think that maybe that's always been the case with Oscars, because even looking back at things like, Training Day winning. I've got a lot of time for Training Day. Denzel Washington winning, rather, for Training Day. I've got a lot of time for Training Day. I got more time for Denzel Washington and Malcolm X. You know, and I see the Oscars as just, they're going to just point at this person this year. But it's interesting, but you've not seen many of these, which I think is a statement about what the Oscars mean to most people. I think it is a negative.
Yeah.
Like you don't hear it's up for an Oscar and go, I should really watch that. Whereas when I heard it was up for an Oscar, I thought I better go and watch all these films and give it some coverage. But
it's because you're a professional, like, though, Kaz. You're just a pro.
I don't know. I think it's because it's got a certain negative connotation, which I fully respect.
I mean, I don't know about you, Si, but I'm completely ambivalent about these awards films now. I've been sat through so many decades of them, some of them being good, most of them being a bit arse. So no, I don't think there's a connotation as that. I think it's all down to the films and we're talking about the Oscars, but obviously this is about awards season. But I think, ironically, I think the reason why we're talking about the Oscars is that it's been such a banal awards season with the same winners, just rolling over from Critics' Choice to Golden Globes to SAG to BAFTAs to oh my god, you know, it just feels so. but the films just they don't entice. They just don't interest me, and I will catch them at some point because, you know, I like some of Sean Baker's work, so I will check out Anora.
Or, you would like Anora.
There's like a few scenes in there that are worthy of a watch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the thing is, you say, oh, look, it's a Sean Baker sort of tragicomedy about sex workers. I go, which one? Which Sean Baker tragicomedy about sex workers? No, it's not Tangerine. No, you know, it's just, I'm sure it's great, but anyway.
It's okay. Mm. Is it an Oscar-winning film? I don't know. Is it? It did. But is it worth it? Yeah. It's a funny one. I mean, that film 10 years ago probably wouldn't have even been greenlit. Probably wouldn't have been looked at.
Mm. I enjoyed it. I don't think. I mean, I think I gave it an 8. I'm hoping that it's going to come up with a magic number 8 eventually. But I think
you generally raved about it.
I did, but I wouldn't have said it's the best picture of the year.
No.
But then again, I enjoyed watching. I enjoyed watching it. I did think it surprised me. I didn't watch the trailer, which pretty much tells you the entire movie. So if you've seen the trailer, Mark, you don't worry about it.
I mean, she was great in it. The girl, she was fabulous.
Yeah, she was really good.
A real powerhouse.
But I don't know. I think most of these, I would say, people should check out. Of all of these, I'd recommend Anora to you, Mark.
I'll get to it eventually.
I'd say most people would enjoy Conclave. I think your Hercule Poirot-ness might become active in this.
I bought Conclave, so it's just finding time.
Doesn't mean you've watched it, but yes, it's
it's in my to watch pile.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed Conclave a lot. I'm not sure I'd have thrown any Oscars in it at all, but I can equally see why they do. It's Ralph Fiennes. It's a star-studded cast. It's an unusual sort of setting to set this quasi-murder mystery. I mean, sure.
Those Angels and Demons 2, is it? Is that what it is?
It's really not.
It's no Tom Hanks film, mate. Yeah.
Thank God for that.
It's really good. There are some big scratch your head, wonder why they did that about some of the awards they've dished out, even to this. Didn't Rossellini get like a nomination?
She got a nomination.
14
she was
seconds
on screen
of
for,
screen time. Yeah. I mean,
see,
it's a bizarre way how these things come about, isn't it? Where do the nominations come from?
I think they just pick a selection of movies and they go, yeah, we're going to give all of these movies something. And I think there's a laissez-faire. I can't be asked to look outside of this very small pool, genetic pool of contenders. And I think that comes from two Oscar stories that I heard. The first I heard was that the people who vote for the Oscars pre-agree, it's just a rumor, pre-agree the films that they would most like to actually watch out of all of the nominations, because they really can't be bothered to watch all of the nominations, which is why there tends to be a pooled result of winners rather than everyone wins something. Generally, there tends to be three that win all the big categories, and that's because no one can be asked to watch the rest. And the
sounds about right.
Second thing I heard was just from someone who used to receive all the Oscar movies to watch back in the days of video at the apartment they moved into. Obviously, the person who previously lived there was on the committee, and they used to just watch them all and send in their votes. Mm-hmm. And it went on for years. I thought that was a spectacular little example of how it's just anybody. And they didn't even particularly like films. But that was a good period for them because they got to watch lots of random films for the Oscars.
I heard a story years ago. Ian McKellen was telling, I was on one of these interview panel talk show things. I can't remember who he was talking to. And he told the story of how these things come about, he being eligible to vote because of his stature or whatever. And he said pretty much what you said in that first story there. They get through the list of things and they look down the list and they go, that's directed. Oh, I know him. He's quite a good chap. I'll vote for that one. Mm. Oh, I know her. Oh, I work with her down in the rep down in Brighton. Oh, yeah, she's great. I'll mark that one. As they don't ever watch these things because they don't have time to watch
them.
The voting pool is based on their knowledge of the business. Is that, I don't really know how you could say that, but based on the knowledge of people they worked with and who they know and how these things get made, rather than the finished quality film, the finished product, as it were. So that sense, it makes almost the whole thing a nonsense.
Exactly. And when you see the various mainstream awards all stacked up against each other, and you start to see something like, Kieran Culkin swept everything, Critics' Choice, Golden Globes, SAG Awards, the BAFTAs, the Oscars, for supporting actor. And the same with Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. You think, and how much of this is down to, I haven't got time, but I heard they won something, so they must be good, so I'll vote for them. But it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because I'll be the first to admit, I haven't seen A Real Pain or Emilia Perez. But even I'm baffled how those two performances appear to have swept the board on every one of those mainstream award shows.
I want to see A Real Pain. I want to see A Real Pain. That does look interesting. I've almost no interest in Emilia Perez, but equally I can see that's had a real storied history on how it got so nominated, how it was a real two fingers up from a political standpoint. And then how the backlash on social media ruined almost all of its Oscar chances.
So basically, what we're saying is the things that influences Oscars apart from the film.
Yes, I think there are. I think there are huge amounts into it. But I come back to the fact that probably I would recommend that people should probably watch Anora. I think it's a pretty worthy movie. It's got a lot going for it in an uncut gems kind of way, but maybe with even more humor and less darkness. Definitely a lot of humor. And it's got that kind of frenetic quality to it that elicits tension out of the most normal situations, abnormal situations, but relatively normal. I think Conclave
sounds the perfect thing to wind down after a hard week of work.
It's not. It's really, really intense. It's not. But I think you'd like it. I think you'd get swept up in it. Anyway, I recommend Conclave. And the only one that I think, oddly, I can see why it won a lot of awards, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend is The Brutalist, because it's a brutal watch. But I can see why it's 4 hours long and has an intermission and all the rest of it. I think I alluded to the fact in the review that I really respected a lot of things about it. But really, it's his performance. It's Adrian Brody. Mm-hmm. I definitely called it out as being an Oscar-worthy performance. And I can see why he got that. But I don't know whether I would give the film the Oscar. Mm-hmm. I could just see how it would spiral, because I think they gave... What do they give? Cinematography, or they gave it score, or they gave a number of other things, and it could have added up to Best Picture if it had gone that way, in much the same way that Anora started piling up awards and landed on Best Picture. I mean, it's just how it works, isn't it? I could see it for Brutalist, but I'm kind of glad that didn't win, because it's a very good film, but it's a very obvious kind of choice on that.
I mean, you say obvious, but the one that galls and annoys me across all of this was Demi Moore for The Substance.
I know, because... but horror's
that's my point. I don't think it got the award because I think Demi Moore came away with the Sylvester Stallone, oh, bless, you're still making films, oh, good on you, kind of nomination. And the fact that it was The Substance was neither here nor there. It was the... the old timer still cranking them out. Nod
award,
which kind of took it away, because we've talked about how good the horror films were last year and the performances across them. You know, from Nell Tiger Free in The First Omen to what's her face in Smile 2,
Oh, Naomi Scott.
Yes, Naomi Scott in Smile 2.
She was absolutely fantastic.
Superb performances. And if I'm honest, in the substance, I even thought Margaret Qualley was better than Demi Moore in that.
She didn't really do much, did she, Demi?
So, you know, what for, if you were going to recognise horror and an acting award for horror, Demi Moore feels like the worst one because it was for Moore, not the performance or the film. I mean, if anything, Carolee Farjak for direction, she should have won because she directed the living bejesus out of that film. That's the nomination
it's,
it should
it's just
have got.
One of those, it's just one of those genres. How well have, I don't know, sci-fi's been served by the Oscars? I'm just throwing that out as general.
Sigourney Weaver for Aliens, Best Actress nomination.
What are we talking about here? 35 years ago?
That was 39 years ago, but who's counting?
Right. I'm counting. I'm literally counting.
Because... 86, wasn't it? So it was 86 when that.
Okay,
I can't
but
think
I'm saying that there might be some, but I'm saying that generally you're not going to get Oscar nominations or recognition or anything for sci-fi. It's been some good sci-fi over the years, and it's a favorite genre for me, a bit like maybe horror is a genre for you, and you can recognize that there's some great movies in there. But you know, like Dune 2, and I know your feelings on it, but you know Dune 2 was never going to win anything other than Best Looking Pretty Award and
She's
Best
absolutely
Sounding Good
right.
Award. Yeah, but what I mean is it didn't stand a chance at anything else, and that's nothing to do with the film. It's just to do with the genre. You put it up against the others, you know. I mean, it's the same in the year when Top Gun was up for Best Picture. It's never going to win. They put it up for Best Picture, but really they're going, yeah, thank you for making a movie like this. We are also a very modern and we appeal to young people Oscars group. So therefore, we shall put Top Gun in here and give it Best Visual Effects. Because pretty.
So, well, I'll tell you what, be honest now. If they turn around and say Best Picture of the Year is Top Gun Maverick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'd have felt that
tell
that
me.
Was... You'd have felt
I
that
would
that
have felt
was...
it was a recognition of the fact that the best movie of the year, probably in a broader sense of the word best, had won.
Yeah, but that's the exact rub. What's this
Rather
broader
than,
sense of the word?
Well, it's less about the most worthy movie of the year winning, which I think is where all these negative connotations come from, which is why The
True.
Brutalist gets it for being most worthy of movie of the year, and why I'm kind of glad that Anora stole some of those off The Brutalist. Do you see that it's that play? Whereas if they go for best, like best that everyone comes out and pumps their fists, not best piece of schlock Hollywood entertainment. I'm not giving an award for that. I'm not saying best Disney movie that cracked a billion. I mean, you know,
No, I get that.
Maverick was a pretty big benchmark for that. But even if you want to expand it and throw in some of what Nolan's delivered over the years, you could give best awards to things that were just better pictures. Dark Knight, The Dark Knight. Do it.
So back to Maverick. So I think Coda won Best Picture the year that Maverick was Maverick, made in 21, so it was at the 22 Oscars. So
I don't know. You're
going
to get me into some kind of socio-political fight over why Coda got it. I mean,
no,
I
no,
love
no, no.
Coda.
No. That's my point. So you've got Coda and you've got Maverick.
Yeah.
Which of those are you going to pick for Best Picture? Not in the broader sense, in the actual sense. What is the Best Picture out of those two?
Oh,
Yeah, you
Maverick.
go. And the fact you even
No,
have to.
I'm going Maverick. I am. I'm sorry. I love
don't
Coda to
apologize.
death. I love Coda to death. But if you're gonna give me one that's gonna stand the test of time and it's gonna go in the annals, it's not gonna be Coda. It's not.
And I suppose that comes back to then what is the Oscars? What is best? What does best mean? And
Yeah.
That's where these things making a competition out of all, is it even relevant anymore? I think you're right. So I think you were talking about it earlier. There used to be a time when slap Oscar nominated on a poster or Oscar winner on a poster, and it would literally, you just stick a couple of noughts on the end of its box office. doesn't do
that's
that
what they were
anymore.
Invented for, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that, and so, you know, these lot could go and have a big piss up and slap themselves on
yeah,
the back.
Yeah, they can
every,
all slap
you know,
each
one,
other on the back and say, no, didn't you do well?
So given that that's what it used to be, now it is, are they even relevant anymore? Is anyone
I don't
really?
Know. I think maybe it's all a big in-joke, because there's no way that Adrian Brody didn't rightfully get recognised for a performance where he absolutely inhabited the character and no longer was Adrian Brody for the runtime. A phenomenal performance. And as a result of that, people within his circle, and this is the bit that we're out of the loop on, are going to go, double Oscar-winning Adrian Brody, give him a job that isn't the cleaner, where he's a garbage man assassin. You know, and they, so maybe that's what they serve. Maybe it's more exclusive
maybe.
than it is for us.
I'm sure it
maybe
is. But
you should have won it for the Predator or Predators, whichever
well,
one he
well,
was in.
Well, I was just going to say, Kaz, go to my iTunes library and watch the Dario Argento film called Giallo, in which Adrian Brody plays not one, two characters. And after watching that, you will go around to his house, you will steal both Oscars off him and beat him to death with them because he
is
atrocious.
Is it a Giallo? He's...
Oh, dear. So yes. I just don't know of their relevance anymore. I really
can't
don't.
You just use them like people seem to use, I don't know, Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb or anything that's like a
don't
very
use
broad
any of them
barometer.
Because they're all hot.
I didn't say you. I said people as a broad barometer. Okay, I was trying to be really nice about people there, and you made me sound like I was actually trying to be rude about people. But I guess I'm trying to say that you got to know something's up if something gets like a 2 out of 10, whatever your barometer, and you got to know something's right if something gets a lot of votes for like a 9 out of 10 or a high score, because the sheer volume of really aggressive, politically motivated hate bombing stances that go into it to survive that and got a high rating, like Maverick style, you got to know something's doing something right. So I'm not saying it's a barometer for the bits in between, but a bit like that in the Oscars, you're celebrating all these movies as the best of the year. I'm not. I'm just saying they're movies that maybe I wouldn't have watched half of these if the Oscars hadn't told me about them, and I'd have missed that because some of them are really good. They're not my favourite movies of the year, but I wouldn't have watched them if the Oscars hadn't have said, hey, look, we're nominating these. I'd go out and watch Conclave, and I enjoyed watching Conclave.
So that's an interesting stance that actually, you could almost argue that the Oscars aren't for the hardcore film fans. Because the hardcore film fans will most likely have either seen the film or they have no interest in seeing the film way
Agreed.
Before the Oscars come out. So in actual fact, what the Oscars are important for are the casual viewer. And that's what this is chasing,
just
which
a
is...
bunch of films that you should watch in the year. They should rename them the films you should watch in the year.
If you only watch 10 films in a year, watch these.
If you only watch 50 films in the year, chuck in 5 of these. All right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's definitely not the only films you should watch in the year, because my God, there are better films to watch.
Of course.
I think a really broad, if out of all the films you watched in the year, you watched Anora, Conclave, Brutalist, Wicked, The Substance, Dune Part 2, Flow and Wild Robots, that's not a bad shout. It's not a bad collection of movies that are going to be above Netflix ratings. You're going to be better off watching these than you are going to be watching anything on Netflix. There you go. There's what the Oscars do. They give you something better to watch than Netflix.
Do you know what? They should put that on the poster.
They
for the
should
Oscars.
Put that on the poster. That's a winning slogan right there.
Better than most of the crap on Netflix.
All of the crap on Netflix. Better than all of the crap on the guaranteed TM.
Guaranteed. That's Holloway V Forums.
I definitely don't. You know, if you look back at the years, there've been a lot of stuff. I mean, I like a lot of the stuff that's won. Hurt Locker won Best Picture, and I love Hurt Locker. I don't think I'd have gone anywhere near Best Picture.
No. I, do you know what? That's true. That's true of me with things like The English Patient. I would have never have given The English Patient the time of day, but I watched it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it once. But yeah, no. So I think absolutely. I think that's the way to approach these kind of awards, isn't it? Which is, you may look at a film and dismiss it because you either don't like the cast, the topic doesn't interest you, you just think it's going to be a... But if it gets a couple of nods, it's the barometer to say, well, maybe there is something in here worth checking out.
Yes. Okay. I mean, you could look at it that maybe if it's a film that the Oscar committee could be bothered to watch, then probably it might be okay because, my God, those guys don't bother to watch anything. So,
that's true.
So, you know.
So was there anything missing this year then? Was there any series, and I'm not just talking about, you know, the big genre films we were might like, but do we think there was anything missing out of all of the awards that we genuinely believe maybe should have got a shout?
Well, we already mentioned Naomi Scott.
So other than some of the potential acting nods for some of those horror films, was there...
I don't think any horror film was ever going to stand a chance of anything, unfortunately. Just like with Dune 2 not standing a chance at actually Best Picture.
No, but I mean, things that, you know, for me, the biggest... I think the last time I got genuinely upset at the Oscars was when Arrival didn't get anything. Because I thought Arrival was special. Now, you could look at Arrival and go, yep, Amy Adams for actress, can see that. Hell, even throw Renner in a Best Supporting Actor nod and of course, Villeneuve, you know. Or Arrival, I think, was the last time I got really arsy that it didn't get any noms. But I don't think there was anything this year that made me genuinely angry, other than, like I said, I love Naomi Scott or Nell Tiger Scott Free to have got a nod because I thought they were outstanding. What about you guys? Anything missing?
I mean, this is I'm looking back and I'm thinking this was a pretty good selection of movies. I suppose we're still a bit coming out of the production lull, not from the COVID
The
days,
strikes.
maybe a little bit,
The
but from the
strikes, yeah.
COVID days and then the strikes and whatever snowballed over time. I guess there's that period and everyone seems to be jumping on the we'll make good TV instead bandwagon. I think as years go, where you get a selection like this, it's not bad. I am surprised, although not necessarily arguing for it, but maybe I'm a little bit surprised that Angelina Jolie's Maria didn't get any consideration, really.
I mean, this year's Amadeus.
God, it was
sorry,
not
I made myself
this
chuckle
year's
there.
Amadeus,
Oh, dear.
But you know, it was a impressive performance. I don't know whether I'd have been jumping up and down to get anything in there.
I think maybe this is it, and I think part of it is, you know, we change. The Oscars don't change, we change. You know, like you said, we as a consumer, our viewing styles dictate that the films have now started to skew slightly more indie, slightly more left field than they used to. But, you know, we approach them, we watch different films, we watch them differently, we feel differently about them. So, like I said, I'm sat here saying, well, none of those feel anything like as important and grand as the likes of Amadeus did. I'm sure someone out there is going, Amadeus is a bag of toss, Costello. Shut up.
They could possibly, you know, give best film that has been reshot three times and cost $400 million to Brave New World. They could probably give it
nice,
like something like that, like a real tribute pat on the back Oscar. Well done for getting across the line.
Well, well done for finishing it and releasing it.
Yeah, kind of that. Yeah, you know, you only cost price of a small country to...
Well, to be fair, we've got Snow White going up against it, haven't we? So, you know, it'd be Disney's year.
What's happening with Snow White? Go on, keep me updated in the loop.
You know what's going on with Snow White.
I do know what's going on.
Yeah, of course
you
know what's going on with Snow White.
I've got no idea what's going on with Snow White. I don't care what's going on with
she's
Snow White.
She's not the fairest of them all, Simon. That's all need
and
to know.
You know, they've had issues with everything.
I think any of these remakes are stupid.
They had the strike over some of the, let's say, supporting cast choices in Snow White and the
dwarves or something.
And the seven people who wanted to continue working in the movie business.
Oh, whatever.
And then, of course, yeah, no, we're not going to get into, you know what, we can have an entire podcast on Snow White, but...
Yeah, but it's not as good as a podcast on Seagal.
Well, of course it isn't. Hey, you don't know yet. You haven't seen it. There
no,
might
I
be
haven't
a
seen
point
it, yeah.
where she bursts into the dwarf's cottage on a little railway trolley in slow
it goes
motion.
Really, really slowly.
Running down.
As they're throwing fruit at her or something.
Farmyard animals in slow motion. You just don't know.
I would pay to see it. I would.
11 out of 10.
And I still haven't from the fridge.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. God almighty.
I love it. It's really terrible when we're doing like in jokes on our own podcast. It's like,
hang on.
This joke, you had to watch the last podcast
months.
Special on Seagal.
And do you know what? Both of them who did are pissing themselves right now.
Yeah, they are. It was
That's
worth it.
Exactly
you.
Right.
You guys, we
Bob,
love you.
Dave, keep listening.
Yeah. Yes.
Love you, man.
Yes. Checks in the post. Yeah, I mean.
So,
yes.
Back on topic, Carlo. Back on topic.
For me, it's a glass is half full. And for you, it's a glass half empty to a certain extent. But I think you can see, I think we can both see the points in that. I'm definitely not big on the Oscars at all. And if you're talking about a month where you reviewed Amadeus, I reviewed Yojimbo and Sanjiro.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I watch those movies and I sit there and I'm just like, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time I sat and watched a movie that was as glorious as if two movies back to back as watching Yojimbo and Sanjiro. I
Tell you
can't
the beast and
even.
exit wounds.
Yeah. Stuck exit wounds or half past dead. Yeah.
So basically, not that we're living up to type as miserable old men who are sitting there using their platform to bitch that they don't make films like they used to. Wow. Would we be any more stereotypical?
I'm going to say they don't make. I mean, I'm going to say they do, but they feel rarer. They make, you know what? They make more films than ever before. We looked that up, didn't we? Like that
we did,
by
yes.
The thousands more films.
We may have even
yes.
done a podcast on it.
Yeah, and the stats are insane. But I do not think you can find anywhere near, not even the proportion. You can't even find the same number of really good. These are great. I'm going to remember this in 10-year films.
Mm.
But that
Very
doesn't
true.
mean they don't still come out, because I still,
I
every
know.
Time Nicholas Winding Refn announces a new movie, I go, I know I'm going to hate it because you don't know how to make a film anymore. It's going to look really pretty and be really moody and be really dark, but it's going to go off the rails and I'm not going to like it. But you made Drive. And I think that that was that year for me, and that wasn't that long.
Not 2011.
That was a million years ago, wasn't it?
2011.
Yeah, but
Jesus.
It isn't really that long if you think about. We're talking about Yojimbo and Sanjiro from the 60s. It's not really that long to be talking about a film that I think is great in 2011.
Well, I'll give you that. But then again, you're not as old as Mr. Chris and I. Are you? You whippersnapper, Harlow. You with your full head of hair, all full voluminous body. Honestly.
I did. I used Christopher Walken TM.
So, awards categories, kids. Who needs them? Do with them what you will. Watch the films, don't watch the films, don't really matter.
Yeah, what? We just got to the end of this entire discussion with a watch them, just don't expect the best films of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you're going to watch
that,
half of
that's
them.
That's what you took out away from this discussion.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
What you took out. I already knew it. That's what you took.
Well, I was just sitting back waiting for you to convince me. And frankly, Harlow, after 42 minutes, you failed miserably. Miserably. I'm not going to watch any of them now. And I've bought half of them. I'm just not going to watch them now.
It's true. But that is the same of most of your iTunes catalogue.
That is very true. Yeah, but it was $2.99. $2.99.
I know. That's how they get you. It was $2.99, and you say that 100 times a month for the year.
Damn you, Jobs!
Yeah. It is what it is. There'll be more, but You know, there was a time when I was excited about Electric State from the Russos coming to Netflix, and then I saw the poster, the trailer, and then I just got managed to convince someone else to review it. It was
Yes. Don't see that whole shtick that you peddled last week. Oh, do you know what, Mark? Work's gonna be really bad. We're coming up to my busy season.
Yeah.
All of that was a lie, just so I would say, oh, shall I do the
Say, watch
Electric State
Electric
for you again?
State.
You did come back to me very quickly with a yes. It's all part
I
of your
did.
Blofeld-esque master plan,
I
wasn't it, Harlow? You
already
evil
had it typed
genius,
before
you.
you even said it.
Damn,
He,
I see you now
you know what? I
for
will
the
say right
villain you are.
now, TV is doing a lot better in a lot of respects with its quality output than I would have expected. I watched Ridley Scott's new show, Dope Thief. Started watching that. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I wouldn't say that if you didn't tell me it was a Ridley Scott show, I would go, oh, yes, it's got the stamp of Ridley Scott on it, which is not necessarily a bad thing because Gladiator 2
Well, it
and,
is if
yeah,
you
Gladiator.
believe Mr. Crust's last writing.
But it is still a good little crime drama that elicits some tension. But even better, Seth Rogen's The Studio, Mark. When it comes on Apple, you have to watch half an hour, the first episode. It is everything that we talk about movies and the film industry put together in this giant, dialed up to 11, this is Spinal Tap satirical bubble. And it's beautiful. He's a studio boss who inherits the opportunity to pick and choose what movies get made. And he's a big film fan like us. And he just can't do it. And it's got Scorsese in it. It's got
It's a gal in it.
Ron Howard turns up. There's no Seagal. I'm waiting for season two for
Oh,
that.
but
But
yeah,
it's
sensible.
proper good. Yeah,
Nice. Okay.
it's proper good. Proper
I
good
will watch it.
TV.
I actually did watch some TV though. I watched Black Doves on Black Doves on Netflix. I actually
Oh,
watched
okay.
that and it was actually pretty good. Go watch it.
Oh, you're like the
Yeah.
second person after me who enjoyed it. Oh,
I
you liked
really
it too,
enjoyed it.
Si.
Yeah, but we watched it
Oh
almost
no,
in December in ours. It was okay. You
you
know,
think you can take it back?
it kept its length. Is that an acceptable saying?
Matron. Yes, it is acceptable to say that for now. Anyway, we're not talking about what we watched and all that crap. We're bringing this showboat of a podcast to a close, aren't we?
Okay. Yeah, we did it justice. I think that I think that they're none of these are best pictures, but some of them are worth watching. So
A desperately
good.
uninteresting award season, but some solid pictures in there worthy of watching, Mr. Harlow, is what you're saying.
Is pretty much it. I mean, I haven't
Yeah.
seen half of the ones on this big poster behind me, but I mean, you know, I've tried my best to go out and see the other half and was glad I did.
Well, I've
So,
heard you think Wicked is as good as the Terminator cast, so you know.
can people not do maths? I
What
don't understand.
going on there?
You fucking
I
gave
think
Wicked an 8, and Wicked is Wicked. I mean, I didn't show my kids the Terminator.
I
The
think you've
kids
lost
love
all.
Wicked, and
Just hand your reviewer's card in, Harlow.
it's
I
fucking
mean,
great.
Wicked
But
is
where
as
does the
good as the
Terminator
Terminator.
come from?
That's
Why
Harlow in the forums.
would you give the Terminator an 8? Is the answer I want to give, but I don't want to feed the trolls.
Oh dear
Jesus.
me, it's
Anyway,
getting chuckle.
yes, I really enjoyed it. The irony is, I thought I didn't want to watch Wicked. I didn't go to see Wicked at the cinema, despite my kids begging me to do it. I wasn't interested in Wicked. And when I
That
saw
is you.
it started off and I was like, right, I'm going to go and do something else. And I ended up loving it. That is everybody that just dismisses it
It's an Oscar
in
winner
a
right there.
nutshell there, because that was me. But yeah,
Do you know
should
what?
have
They
given
said
it an
exactly the
Oscar.
same about the Terminator.
Yeah, that's definitely an Oscar winning film.
That's the year.
Could
That's
have
the
been
year when they
effects.
had horror and special and sci-fi. They could have got both of those in for Best Picture.
And do you know what beat the Terminator at the Oscars? Amadeus. There you go. It all comes full
Yeah.
circle. Talk about structuring it perfectly. Thank you. If I could drop this bugger, I would. Good night.
Brilliant.
I don't even know how to do the outro for that. That's it for the AV
Don't even bother.
Forms podcast this month. Really? Seriously? I have to do something. There's one hardware competition I've got to shout out about. Winner Valencia Theatre Seating Single Tuscany Ultimate XL Chair worth £2,100. In conjunction with Global Movie Day, Valencia Theatre Seating is offering you the chance to elevate, get it, your home theatre experience with the Tuscany Ultimate XL Chair. And all you need to do to get your name in the hat is to answer one simple question over on the AVF website. Competition closes end of March 2025. We've got a bunch of DVD, Blu-ray and 4K discs available and some digital competitions. I think I'm going to do another couple of competitions. We've got a competition for Wicked going. I'm going to get a competition for Dogman going. And I might get a competition for the 4K Mufasa going just seconds before I utterly slate it on his Disney bow. Previous winners, Original Jungle won a Fell amp from Fell Audio worth £599.
Ooh, nice.
New patrons, TGT, Saint Lotis, and Slink bought us a coffee. Someone. That's it. So we're going to do another one of these. But if you enjoyed the podcast, give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we publish our live streams, product reviews and more. If you really like the podcast, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AVForums. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and bookmark AVForums.com for the latest reviews, news and videos. Plus, give us a 5-star rating on whichever service you use, if they allow it. Even if they don't allow it, just do it anyway. And thank you for watching and listening.
Even if it's just a Cassie's haircut.
Yes, do it for my hair. Do it for the Oscars, man. And join us for another podcast soon. Not on Seagal, but something like that. All right. Bye.